today on Let the Bible Speak.
If you're in a storm on life's sea, is your anchor holding? Greetings and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Every day, someone's life is seemingly upended, and things will never be the same for them. It's sobering to realize how quickly everything can change for any of us. One phone call, one knock at the door, one doctor's visit, one wrong maneuver behind the wheel can change everything about our earthly life in an instant. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Life is not always smooth sailing, and anyone who's lived very long can testify to that fact. Storms come, and tides rise and fall, and because the storms come, ships need an anchor. Your ship on the turbulent sea of life needs an anchor. What many a crisis reveals, though, is that many people don't really have one, because their lives are dominated by fear, confusion, and even despair. They are very vulnerable to the circumstances that beset them. You know, the Bible speaks of various storms that came and caught even the people of God in their fury. And one such account took place during the life of the Apostle Paul. Falsely accused by the Jews, Paul had been a prisoner now for a few years and had appealed to plead his case before Caesar, and he and other prisoners were now on board a grain ship on their way to Rome. Despite Paul's warning that they were going to run into a terrible storm, his captors went ahead and sailed into danger. An awful tempest was tossing the ship about, and after 2 weeks of stormy seas, the men of the ship were giving up hope. But an angel told Paul that they would survive, but not before being shipwrecked on an island. The situation on that last night became desperate, and the Bible describes it like this in Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 27. It says, "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day." Some translations say they prayed for daylight to come. And I think many of us have felt like those sailors did that night, and perhaps you feel that way today. People are feeling helpless and fearful of what may come because they had no other option. They look out through the stormy darkness, and they cast out the anchors they had aboard the ship and hope for the best, praying for at least the light of day to come. But the people of God can do better than that. The people of God should have the calm assurance that Paul had that night. And it's interesting that out of all of those aboard that ship who were experienced in sailing stormy seas, the one who was calm was the Apostle Paul, the prisoner. Because God had provided him with some anchors, so to speak, and God has provided us with some anchors that cannot be moved, and they cannot fail. And I hope you'll stop and really think about your soul today as we ask the question, will your anchor hold? And I'll return to talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Anchors are not a luxury, they are a necessity. When waters would dash a ship upon the rocks, the anchor can be the only thing standing between the ship and disaster. It's there to stabilize the boat, to hold it in place, to keep it from the rocky shoal, and to keep it from drifting off course or into even more treacherous seas. You know, the storm is not quite as threatening when the ship's anchor is securely fastened in the deep, although the water may be rough and it may be unpleasant. But there is a sense of security when the ship is anchored. Spiritual anchors have the same effect in our lives. The Bible uses this metaphor to emphasize the importance of God's protection and care and His divine navigation, we might say, as we cross the sea of life. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, the writer says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Look at verse 19, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." In other words, the certainty of God's promises, the immutability of His Word, that's an anchor that holds the soul in place. It's believed that the Hebrew epistle was written to Christians whose faith was being threatened by persecution. And many, as you might imagine, were tempted to turn away from Christ and revert back to Judaism and its temple worship because of the severe challenges of living for Jesus and living by faith. But the writer reminds them that God does not lie. His promises are true, His Word immutable, and God has demonstrated and proven this throughout time in many, many ways. And that truth should tether and hold our souls firmly in place, even when they come up against our own trials and times of uncertainty and the storms of life. You know, people are relying upon many things as an anchor in time of peril. They lay plans, they trust in various people and things, they hope that things will turn out a certain way, they have great confidence that they will. But they eventually find that those anchors fail them at some point, and when they truly need them. I wish to repeat that every soul needs an anchor because every ship will at some time enter perilous seas. It will not always be smooth sailing. And often the tempest comes suddenly and more fiercely than we can imagine. We're living in turbulent days right now, most of us would say. There are many people living on the edge financially with a teetering economy, an uncertain economy. We have wars and the threat of terrorism around the globe. Our country is saturated with political strife and even violence. It's everywhere, and we're bombarded with it every day, and it gets nerve-wracking, and it causes us great anxiety. Maybe these things are especially personal for you. You're tending to sick loved ones and worrying over them. Perhaps sickness, cancer, some serious disease has reached into your home and family and turned your life upside down. Maybe you were laid off from your job. You have no idea when things are going to turn around. You worry about losing your home. Maybe just in general, you're wringing your hands and you look at the future with dread instead of hope. I would like to ask you today, what kind of anchor do you have to rely upon? And the real question, will that anchor hold? There's an old song in our hymnals that says, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?" What about you? What hope do you truly have in these suddenly turbulent and confusing times? Well, I can tell you that many people's anchors will fail them. The things they are turning to and trusting have already failed them, and will continue to do so. You know, it's sad to think that the anchor that many turn to is alcohol and drugs. I never cease to be amazed at the prominent role that alcohol plays in our society today. In fact, if you want to get people excited, and I'm talking about religious people, just preach a sermon about drinking and drunkenness, and you will get people stirred up. In fact, some of the most response that I have ever received of a negative nature is in warning about drinking alcohol. And I think that's very telling of the hold that alcohol has on the hearts and the lives of people who may not be clinically speaking, alcoholics, but nonetheless, they have a strong dedication to their alcohol. And, you know, during the pandemic a few years ago, this was demonstrated. I noticed the news reports at that time when the government began shuttering businesses and public gatherings and attractions, that they went to great lengths to keep the liquor business open and available. Did you notice that? Various news headlines emphasized that local liquor stores would be providing drive-up service, and rules were bent to allow eating establishments to serve alcohol to go. And some at the time commented on social media in response to that news. They don't know how they would survive that turmoil if they didn't have their beer and their booze to ride out the storm. You think about what a sad commentary it is on our society and alcohol's prominent place in that society, that such is one of the very first things people turn to when trouble comes. Same is true for drugs. Now, the Scripture says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise, Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Proverbs 23 verses 31 and 32, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Paul said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That word means debauchery or an abandoned, dissolute life. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Friend, if you're turning to something that is sinful and destructive when trouble comes, you don't have much of an anchor. If all you can do is drown your troubles in something that has destroyed countless lives, demolished homes, dismantled dreams, and condemned souls, you don't have much of an anchor to see you through the storm. There is a much better way and a much better life than that. And then some look to money as an anchor. They build up a fortune, or they very carefully save and invest. And that's a good thing, to save and to count, to prepare for lean times, because you want to be able to have some laid by to survive that storm. But friend, you know, no matter how careful you are, that's no guarantee. Some people obsess over that. That is their lifeline. Money is no guarantee. Multi-billion dollar industries. Why? One conflict in the world, one crisis in the world, one catastrophe, one downturn of the economy, and they're teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. In a week's time, the stock market can erase years of gains, and 401ks and retirement investments for millions of Americans can be wiped out. Some perhaps have time to eventually see some of that money come back, but many who will soon need it face hard times and a lifetime of work because what they saved is just virtually wiped away in no time. Just as the Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. There's a reason in times of depression and economic hardship that people turn to God more and more, because it's a painful reminder that wealth is fleeting and riches are uncertain. Banks can fail, jobs can be lost, stock markets crash, houses and businesses can burn to the ground. No, money is no anchor to trust in the storms of life. And then, you know, the anchor of health will eventually fail. Some people, they want to try to live forever. I read about this biohacker here just in recent days, who was determined he was going to live to something like 160 years old, and now he's announced that he is facing a very serious illness that's just taking him aback, taking him by surprise. No matter how hard you work to preserve your health, and it's a good thing to take care of your body, but even if you're young, health can vanish in a moment. Some of you may have been to the doctor and walked out of his office recently with your life suddenly upended, never to be the same again. When you discovered that spot or that lump, or you felt those strange feelings that sent you to the doctor to get checked out, and you go from one moment thinking all is well, the future is bright, to suddenly facing sickness and maybe the shocking prospect of a premature death. I have preached many a funeral on a Thursday or Friday for a person I preached to the Sunday before. Many are trusting in the promise of tomorrow. And while optimism is a wonderful thing, we must also face the reality that we're never promised a tomorrow. But many are banking on the wish that tomorrow will bring a new day and things will get better. Just hold on and things will turn around. Well, boast not thyself of tomorrow, the wise man says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And how true that is. A phone call, a knock at the door from the sheriff can change your life in the blink of an eye. And then there is even the anchor of false and misleading religion. There are feel-good peddlers of pulpit psychology who would have you to believe that God will make you wealthy and healthy if you just have enough faith and buy into their commercialized brand of Christianity. Problem is, Jesus never promised that. Jesus never promised to make anybody rich or to keep them healthy. In fact, He taught the opposite is often the case for people who choose to follow Him. He told His disciples, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." But many people have bought into that philosophy, and when trouble comes, their anchor fails. And consequently, their faith fails, and they become disillusioned and even bitter toward God in some cases, all because He didn't do something that He never said He would do to begin with. What I want you to know today is that the real Jesus Christ, who is revealed in His Word, and His soul-saving truth is an anchor that will never fail. When everything else is stripped away, the committed follower of Jesus Christ has a peace, a joy, a confidence, a hope, a stability, a direction, a purpose that nothing in this world or in hell beneath can take away. Paul once called it the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, Philippians 4 and verse 7. Not only do we as believers have a hard time getting our mind around that kind of peace, the world certainly doesn't understand it. That peace is obtained only through a right relationship with God, through Jesus Christ. The fact is, sin is the source of all of our storms in life. Sin has made a mess of this world since Adam first introduced it into human history. It's been wreaking havoc and destruction upon every single thing that it touches. Wars, famines, diseases, crime, sorrow, death, division are all the result of sin's presence in this world. Isaiah chapter 57, beginning of verse 20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." No, the only true and lasting peace to be found in this world and beyond is in being reconciled to a loving but holy God by being forgiven of our sins through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me quickly remind you of some anchors that the Christian, the baptized believer, has in the storms of life. Anchors that will always hold. Now, one is the Word of God. While the world constantly changes its views and its opinions and people surf on the wave of the latest trends that come along and so forth, the Word of God never changes. The Bible is God, the eternal God's revelation to man, the unchanging God's revelation to man, and it is not only the roadmap to eternal life, to heaven, it is a source of promise, reassurance, and hope to the person who heeds it and obeys it in this life below. Do you know the Bible gives us counsel in every single situation in life we find ourselves in? There are no exceptions to that. The Bible has that relevancy and that power. There is not a predicament that you'll ever find yourself in. There is not a crossroads of decision you will ever come to. There is not a single perplexity and mystery of life that the Bible cannot give you some principle, precept, or example to anchor your soul by. Now, do you have that kind of relationship with the Bible? Do you read it every day? Do you constantly turn to it in good times and bad so that you can know the Lord and know Him better and better? You see, if you're not girding up your mind and heart with God's Word as you go through life, it won't do much good when you get in the storm. It won't give you any comfort because you don't know the comfort that's in it. It won't keep you from straying off into false doctrine and losing your soul. You're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because you don't stay in the Word and know the Word. The Christian always has that anchor on board his vessel if he's faithful to the Word of God, and he'll have something to fasten him when the waves begin to roll and the storms begin to beat. And then there is the fatherhood of God. Do you have someone in your life, perhaps your father, your mother, brother, sister, maybe a dear friend, who you think I can always turn to? Someone you can always pour out your heart to and you know they will listen. Someone who will always love and understand what you're going through and how you feel and they'll try to help. And you know, having that kind of relationship is invaluable and it imparts strength that it's hard to get through life without. We all need a friend. But parents, they eventually pass away. Friends can be fickle and turn away or become distant. People change. But you know, God never leaves. You may leave Him, but He never abandons His faithful children. He never leaves. Do you know that God wants to have that kind of relationship with you? He initiates. We didn't go seeking after God. He came seeking after us through Jesus Christ. He's so interested in your welfare and in your soul that while you were yet a sinner and estranged from Him, He sent His Son Jesus into this world searching for you. And He wants to be your Father, your counselor, your unfailing friend. There is never an inconvenient time for you to talk to Him and seek His help and His strength. The door is always open to His children. But that's a relationship that, first of all, only comes through faith and obedience to Him, and it's a relationship that has to be cultivated and maintained in every season of life. True enough that all of us are the creation of God and loved by God by virtue of being His creation, but friend, the kind of relationship I just described only comes to those who approach God through faith in Christ and obedience and submission to the gospel of Christ. Many want to cry out to God in times of crisis and disaster, but they have no relationship to Him. He's not listening. Friend, when you truly leave the world behind and you commit yourself to Him, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18, verse 24. You have a friend today. You may just not notice it. You have left His love unrequited. But you have a Father who desires that relationship with you, and if you'll let Him be your Heavenly Father, He will never fail you. You know, the Christian also has the anchor of the fellowship of the church. God designed the church that way. Those who are in Christ are not in this world alone. They have the relationship of brothers and sisters in Christ that, frankly, the world not only doesn't enjoy, they don't even understand. I have friends from my past secular career, friends in the world, they couldn't believe that the number of people that I know across the country and homes that I've stayed in and people that I care about and care about me, I can't describe what it is to be a faithful part of the body of Christ, a relationship we can turn to if we want to do the will of God. And many don't know that relationship because they're either not part of the church or they're a nominal member of the church. They don't contribute love, warmth, support, faithfulness, but they expect it when they need it. But that's not what I'm talking about. Not those who use the church or think it should be there for them, but they have no obligation to it. I'm talking about a person who is living for Christ, who loves the church, is a living and vibrant part of the church. When that exists, the church is more of a family than your earthly family ever will be. And that's how God designed it. Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? They who do the will of God, those are my brethren." That's what the Lord said. And ultimately, the Christian has the anchor of hope, which, as we read in the beginning, the Hebrew writer said, we have as an anchor of the soul. People in the world fret over their lives, their futures, but the person who knows the Lord has not only the desire, but the expectation of everything God has promised. And if everything in this world is lost, the faithful child of God has the hope of life eternal. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Do you have that hope? Do you have these anchors aboard your ship of life?
To thee all that Enroll in our free Bible course and discover the pure and timeless teaching of the Word of God. If you feel overwhelmed by all of Satan's confusion, this course will introduce you to the Bible with a simple, clear way to study and learn. You complete the lessons whenever and wherever is convenient for you. There is no charge and absolutely no strings attached. It's yours for the asking. Just scan the code on your screen or contact us by phone or email and ask to be enrolled in the free Bible correspondence course, and lesson number one will be on its way. Again, you owe us nothing. Get in touch and get started right away.
I would love for you to know the hope that is found only in Christ Jesus if you don't possess that hope. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. And if we can put you in touch with someone who will assist you in learning more about that and taking those steps of obedience into Christ, we would be glad to do just that, and we'd love to hear from you today. If you'd like to have a copy of our lesson, Will Your Anchor Hold?, we'll send you a free printed transcript. And again, anything we ever offer here on Let the Bible Speak is free. We will never ask for one dime from any of our viewers. And so this material is free. And if you'd like a free copy, just let us know and we'll get that to you as quickly as we can. Remember, we're online and our website is ltbstv.org and our social media channels. Just search for Let the Bible Speak TV on YouTube, on Facebook, and give us a follow or a subscription and like and share our content. That helps the truth to go farther. We appreciate you for joining us today. Hope you have a great week ahead. And if God is willing, let's make an appointment to meet back here next time to study the Bible again. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Let the Bible Speak is brought to you by The Church of Christ. For more information, including our past broadcast and sermon transcripts, visit ltbstv.org. Thanks for being with us today. Join us next time for Let the Bible Speak.